Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitzson, as we come into March Madness, I had to bring in the professor himself, the professor of madness, my man, my friend, Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. Gives it to you straight, always has. He's about a 50-year veteran in the business. And Joe Meyer, welcome aboard, my brother.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thank you, as always, for having me as your guest on the Bubba Show. Great to visit with you once again and your listening audience. Thank you so much, Todd.
Now, it's always good to have you on, Joe, and it's good to have an old war-torn veteran. You know, like you're like Teddy Weisberg on the New York Stock Exchange all the time, but he's always a raving bull. And you're just the guy who tells it straight from Straight Money Analysis. So what's your view of the markets here, Joe? I think there's a lot of things I have to think about. I'd like to get your overview before we get started.
Well, I think the market, as I've said repeatedly, continues to be extremely overvalued, widely overextended, and also continues to be rampantly euphoric. I think we've broken the momentum to the upside. Having said that, doesn't mean we go straight down from here, but I think this is a time to certainly take money off the table, as I've advocated in shows with you in the past, get fully defensive and expect lower prices. I would use any further rally we get from these levels to lighten up, move to the sidelines, Todd. That's the way I see it.
Would you move to the sidelines or would you move to the short side?
Well, I'd like to see the quality of the rally once it commences, just to see how much we can retrace of what we've given up from the recent highs, which we saw March 1st. I think it may be an opportunity if we see the technicals fall in line to start getting short this market as it attempts to make new all-time highs. I doubt quite seriously and honestly whether this market from these levels can make a new all-time high. I think we're looking at a minimum of 5-7% correction if we start the bear market, which I think at some point you'll agree we will. We could be looking at a minimum of a 10% to 15% correction from these price levels, Todd.
Well, I guarantee that there's going to be a correction. I guarantee that we're going to see some selling. The only thing I can't guarantee is when that's going to happen. Obviously, we're extremely overextended. Yes. And the reasons that we're overextended are worse because the overextension comes on the likes of a lot of hope and a lot of praying that what everything that Donald Trump says he's going to do, he's going to be able to get done. And I think that becomes the bigger problem because there is no way that they're going to be able to get the tax cuts done by August. I mean, I'll bet any amount of money that anybody wants to bet on that because they're having too much trouble even getting this Obamacare through. So it's not
going to happen, Todd. I couldn't agree with you more. This market is priced with the news we've had come into the market to perfection. This market is not experiencing or expecting any disappointment ahead, and I think that could be the surprise that starts this market down.
Well, you know, I don't know if it'll be that, Joe. I'm a conspiracy guy, right? I think something's going to happen that nobody could even imagine right now that we're thinking about. And, of course, you know, unfortunately, I always hate to talk about this because it's a very sad day in American history, but the 9/11, you know, the markets were in very similar position before that, you know, after the NASDAQ bubble, after all the running up, and they were searching for a reason to go lower and they couldn't find a reason. And, you know, we know now today that the markets are searching for a reason to go lower, and it's not going to be an economic piece of data because nobody cares. I mean, that's the bottom line. We've weathered the storm. So it's going to be something, you know, maybe it'll be something with the country. Maybe it'll be some problems with the exit of UK, you know, with Theresa May. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be, but it'll be something that we cannot even think about right now. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it'll be totally unexpected news. And when it broadsides the market, everyone's going to try to get out at the same time.
As they always do, right?
As they always do.
It's like the rats running out of the hole. They're trying to get out. And, of course, we know that that's never a good sign. And And I think, Joe, I think we're looking at a market. Now, I'm not a fundamental guy. I'm really a technical guy. But, I mean, the fundamentals look pretty awful in here as well. I mean, I don't see anything that's really great. Am I missing something?
Well, I think you'll agree. We've had a huge run-up since the election in early November. The market has not had an opportunity to back and fill its gains. And I think we're coming into the point in this market here where when it tries to rally, it's unable to hold the gains. And as we continue to try to rally higher, we're seeing volume declining. Not a good sign, Todd.
And not to mention that we're also seeing more new lows made every day than new highs. So I think that's another issue that comes into play, doesn't it?
Well, I think you look at the stock market breadth indicators, they've not been good. I think you also look at the spread differential on junk bonds is telling you these rates could move higher than we want to believe. I think the put-call ratios, the stock option indicator, are now flashing warning signs. I agree with your number of stocks trading above the 200-day moving average. Stock market new 52-week highs exceeding the stock market 52-week lows. I mean, there's a lot of signals here telling you this market's going to run into trouble at some point.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, look, forget about, you know, whether the economy warrants this kind of rally. At some point in time, profit takers come in and take profits, and it's time. And this is probably, we're getting closer to the time that they're going to want to come in and start to grab some profits, you know. And I think a lot of this looks like to me, Joe, is I always compare it to a boxer, right? You get a boxer who's a big favorite, and they, you know, they give him a couple of cheap, easy fights, so he kind of carries the opponent for a couple of rounds, and then he knocks his ass out. And I think that's what the market's kind of doing right now. I think the big money is definitely short, but I think that they're kind of holding up the markets or letting all the retail margin money come in because it's so overextended and letting them continue to try to buy and chase this market up. What do you think?
Well, I think you've got four large investor groups that are exiting the market as we get any continued strength. We've got insurance companies, pension funds, hedge funds, banks. They're lightening up. I agree with you. They see a correction coming. And quite honestly, I think the surprise is going to be not only how far this market falls when the correction begins, but how quickly it does it.
Well, you know, again, I'm a big believer that we're going to see a correction, but I'm also in the same camp as you are, which is that the market will sell off, but the first sell-off will be bought, and maybe the second sell-off will be bought, and the real key will be what type of high it makes after it has those sells. I know you mentioned a little bit earlier, but go ahead and confirm that for me.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think when you go back and you look at prior history and you look at the similarities between prior periods, the only similarity in my long career on the street that I can put to what we're witnessing here in this market currently is what we saw when President Nixon won re-election in 1972. As you know, the market rallied sharply over Dow 1000, which we first got over in 1966, but had a problem staying above it. We finally got above it in 1972. Market rallied on Nixon's re-election about 12 or 13%. And shortly thereafter, when the euphoria wore off and a reality set in, we started a vicious bear market. Bottomed in May of 1974, literally cutting the Dow in half. Could we be looking at a similar situation? I wouldn't rule it out.
I absolutely agree that that's a possibility. Now, you and I are both from the same school. We do not preach fear. We're not fear mongers. We like to tell it like it is, and that will not happen overnight. And those big sell-offs that we had in '87 cannot happen overnight because of the way the market's set up. But we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. We are with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com, one of the greatest newsletters you can get once a quarter. He's been around for about 50 years, so make sure you check him out. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And with the NCAA tournament starting, you got to get there and download Xander's show. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we will be right back with more from Joe Meyer right here on the Bubba Show after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com, 50-year veteran trader. knows a lot, knows it all, has been with me, and is one of my key guys I go to when I want to talk about markets. And so, Joe, you know, I mentioned to you, you know, about the way we're going to sell off, and we kind of agree there. And I said also in closing that we'll never see another 87 type because we've got all these circuit breakers in place.
True.
And cooler heads will always prevail given the opportunity without the plunging. However, you know, we go back to 07, 08, 09, and investors had ample time to dump and get out, but they became greedy. And that's more of the situation than the actual market conditions. It's more about the reaction of people trading those markets. What do you think?
Well, I think you look at the long-term problems that people have when they deal in the market. You know, I've said many times they're too short-term oriented, which is the first mistake. They don't give quality positions enough time to work out. They're very impatient. And the second problem that we see over and over, they can't pull a trigger, take money off the table. Selling stock and taking a profit should be the easiest part of the transition. You make your money when you buy, not when you sell. You know, we see over and over people trying to do things in the market that, quite honestly, Todd, in my career, just continue to make no sense. We've never had a long, grinding, slow bear market, and I think it's long overdue. And I think when you look at the mentality that made people successful trading the bull market, you're going to need a whole different set of rules and a mentality if you're going to trade the short side in this upcoming bear market, which I believe is going to happen at some point.
Well, no, I mean, again, Joe, I believe I'm looking for, before it's all said and done, I'm looking for 1562 in the S&P. Right now, that's about 30-some percent or 35% from here. And the longer we continue to drift and dribble higher, I think the bigger the correction will be. I think the problem you have here is built on too much of the cheap money.
Absolutely.
We've been accepting of not enough growth because we only care about one side of the population, which is the extremely wealthy, because the average guy on the street, other than maybe his 401k, or IRA, is not participating in this rally whatsoever. What do you think?
No, he's not. Well, you know, you got two things here. The average bull market lasts around 4.9 years. This bull market now is over 8 years old. As you know, typically, Todd, bear markets last between one-third and half as long as the previous bull cycle. If we go back to March 2009 and we look at where this rally began, and we've talked about this in prior shows, you had the Dow start to move at 6470, 670 in the S&P. If you haven't made your money by now and you were in this market from the bottom we saw in March 2009, quite frankly, what the hell are you waiting for? You know, you got to know when to ring the bell and take some money off the table, because if you don't do it, someone else will.
I couldn't agree with that. Listen, you know, now me, what I do is I hedge and I use options because I don't sell stocks myself. I just hedge them, and, you know, I roll up and down basis and I continue to compound it out. And, you know, so I'm buying more when the markets are collapsing instead of selling, because I'm taking the money I used from my option hedge to come down there and buy on the bottom. So, and then I'm locking in a higher basis. Like right now, I just rolled my hedges up again up to, I'm locked in basically at 238 in the S&P. So I'm very comfortable doing it that way, and that's one of the ways that I do it. And if you don't do things like that, then you do need to take profits and move off. And I think, Joe, one of the things that really bothers me is the experts, the so-called experts, okay, that come out and say, well, you know, we need to sell Facebook and buy bonds, or sell Facebook and buy something else. I go, why would you worry about trying to rotate sectors? If you could pick the right spot to be in all the time, you wouldn't have to worry about rotation. You would just be making gazillions of dollars because there's nothing to change. I mean, markets are not all that different. What do you think about that philosophy?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, to make money in the market, you need movement. You need movement either up or down. When the market gives you that movement, you have to be prepared to take advantage of it.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, look, You're trying to roll. You know, you get these guys come on and they talk the nonsense, and you know they say, you know, I love this stock, love this stock, and they go, well, and they you have to disclose what you own, and the guy owns nothing. I said, well, how could you love it if you don't own it? And then what I really like, Joe, is when they come out and I'm a raving lunatic bull. We're going to the moon. We're going to the moon. And they go, and you're going to buy what, sir? Oh, I'm going to buy General Electric. I go, okay. That just tells you right away how that the guy is not very bullish. He's looking for a defensive stock. Is that not true?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I mean, I have a real problem, Joe, with the fear mongers. See, this is where you and I are pretty much straight shooters. You know, we don't make money on every trade. We, you know, obviously go through drawdown periods like anybody else. I mean, again, if you're honest, you know the business is loaded with landmines and there's drawdowns happening. Agreed?
Well, I think the key, and we've talked about this in previous shows, you have to keep your losses small and you have to cut them early. You know, the biggest mistake people make is they continue to add to a losing position. You know, I've tried to instruct my readership in the newsletter, Straight Money Analysis. You know, you add to winning positions, not losing ones. And that, I think, has to be driven into stone in the mentality of people as to how they approach the market. You know, you've got to use all the tools that are at your disposal to win. You don't set yourself up to lose. And people want to believe that a losing position will turn around and will eventually be profitable. You know, sometimes it happens, but in the majority of the times it doesn't. I think that's the hard lesson people continue to have to learn in this market, Todd.
And Joe, I think they never learn. That's, I think, the biggest problem. No. I think here's my issue. I'm gonna build this story. I don't know if I'll finish it all this segment, but I'm going to build this story. So we have right now, we've got a lot of, and I'm not going to mention names, but we've got a lot of geniuses out there calling for, you know, 3,000 Dow, 10,000 gold, all these ridiculous, you know, statements to do what? Well, they're trying to obviously sell subscriptions. And I have no problem with trying to selling subscriptions. You and I both sell subscriptions. However, I do have a problem when you are becoming a fear monger, trying to drive somebody to buy something because they think that you know or have privy to some information that's going to say, well, the dollar's not going to be the reserve currency anymore. The gold is going to go to a billion. And I have no problem if you can explain that. But even under all circumstances, if you tell me that gold is going to go to 10,000 or the Dow is going to go to 3,000, first of all, you can make a gazillion dollars trading the ranges on the way down. Because we ain't going there tomorrow. I mean,
no.
So, and that's kind of one of the things that bothered me. What are your thoughts on stuff like that?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you have people coming into these markets for the wrong reasons and not the right ones. And I think you have people trying to hit a home run every time they step up to the plate, you know, rather than just hitting the ball clearly out of the infield and doing singles and doubles, and eventually they add up to be a lot of serious money. You're not always going to hit a home run when you put a position on and you trade it from the long or the short side. And I think that's the mentality we see people come in. They want to believe one or two trades are going to define their career. And you and I know we've been around long enough that fact is certainly not true.
You mean I'm not going to always buy Facebook at 20 and have it at 140? Come on,
no.
Joe. Come on. But no. And, of course, you're right. I mean, look, the art of the market is compounding. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think it comes down to the consistency of what you're doing in the market. I couldn't agree with you more. You're going to have your winners. You're going to have your losers. You're going to have your frustration as you try to maneuver certainly what the markets throw at you. But I think if you have the discipline, you have a game plan, you know how to manage your money, you know how to manage the risk of what you're doing, in the long term, inevitably, I think you should and will be successful. You know, there's some people that are cut out to trade the market, and then there are others that are not. You know, it takes a very special temperament. It takes a very special discipline. It takes the ability to understand what's going on and, more importantly, how to act to the circumstances and make prudent decisions that you know are going to be in the best interest as you move forward. These are the tools of being successful in the market.
Well, that's why we got the guy with the toolkit, straightmoneyanalysis.com. You got to check him out. That's Joe Meyer, 50 years as a trader, been doing this subscribing business, but really gives it to you straight, which is obviously the newsletter. And make sure you go check out his site, straightmoneyanalysis.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. Download The Bubba Show every day and The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And with the NCAAs coming up, you got to go listen to Xander and what Xander and Roz have to say. In the meantime, Bubba's Bottom Line now at bubbatrading.com. A 30-minute or so video of me bitching away. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com, 50-year veteran of the trading wars and floors. And so, Joe, you know, we're talking about the fear and ever, and this is my the other side of that problem, right? We've got everybody trying to drive somebody on fear, or recently on exuberance, you know, trying to convince everybody to get all their money into the market because, you know, obviously the brokers and advisors, they have an edge because the only way they get paid is if your money's in the market. If it's in your account, they don't get paid. So the other, but the biggest problem that I find, and I've noticed over the years, is that most people do not pay attention to guys like you or me when the markets are going up, because they go, it's too easy. We're just making money. Why should I learn how to protect myself? Because all the market does is go up. And I think that is what really creates more of the collapses than anything, is because of that not learning or not educating yourself on a regular basis on how the markets work, how they function, what drives them, and knowing that at a certain point in time, you do need to take some profits and look to move on. What do you say to all that, sir?
Well, I think the markets, as we've said many times, if you know what to look for, tell you what they're going to do before they do it. You know, the timing of that can certainly vary, but markets throw off signals when they're making a bottom, and more importantly, they throw off signals when they're making a top. You know, to get greedy or get cute at the bottom or greedy at the top simply doesn't make any sense. You know, as long as you catch the majority of the move, you're not always going to get in at the low, you're not always going to get out at the high, but as long as you get in at reasonable prices and you get out at a realistic point and you take your profit, that's what solid investing is truly all about, Todd.
Right, but I mean, again, I want to give you a better chance to answer this. This is important. People ignore stuff when the markets are just going up. People are not concerned about learning about the markets, and I think that's the time that you should be spending most of your time learning, because that's when you're making money, and it will keep you and help you not to puke out at bottoms of markets when the whole world's coming in, and you would normally have been out long before, or on the other side of the coin, you would know that that would be the time to be buying, not to be selling. What do you say?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think people lose sight of the fact that when you're in the markets, it's a continuing learning experience, and you should be learning psychologically and, more importantly, mentally, how you approach a bear market and or decide to be part of it. You know, bear markets can be vicious. They can be very, very wearing. They can be exhausting. But I think if you come into them with the right mindset and a game plan, they can be extremely profitable as well.
Well, I mean, obviously, down markets are much more profitable faster, and because they do create the most vicious rallies. And I think this is another lesson that we can kind of pass on to the listeners. Is very simple. You'll get these rallies in bear markets. They look so dang good that you can't imagine.
They're very sharp, but very short-lived, Todd, as you know. You know, they're breathtaking while they last, but when they fizzle and you resume the downtrend, it's devastating.
That's what I'm saying, but that's the those are the rallies that you need to be wary of, are they not?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, when it looks too good, you know, remember the old story, if it smells like blank and looks like blank and you step in it, it probably is blank, right? But if it looks too good, it's probably too good. That's the thing. That is the crooked eye you need to look at the markets with, is when they look too good, it's probably coming near an end. And when they look so bad, it's probably starting to coming towards the beginning. What do you think about that?
Couldn't have said it better.
You could have. but I said it first. How's that? So, Joe, you know, I've been on this oil kick for a long time. And, of course, oil has finally given up the ghost and it's got just crippled, which is obviously makes me happy. I'm short oil. But, you know, I kept saying that the OPEC was a bunch of garbage. It didn't mean anything. And that as long as the pattern held tight, and it did, and as long as we made the lower high at 55 than the lower high at 54, that we were coming down. And once we got through 52, it'd be Katie bar the door and they could make all the excuses about OPEC and all they want. But first, technically, it was going to be a breakdown. But then after the technicals, the fundamentals just didn't support the price of oil anyways. But yet you continue to have the so-called experts talk up oil. And I go, that's why they're not really experts and they're just trying to sell you something. What do you say to that?
Well, I think oil is certainly, you know, telling you we're going to have problems in the global economy moving forward. And I think oil is telling you we're going to have problems in the U.S. equity market. You know, the market rallied with oil to the levels we've recently witnessed, and I think oil now is signaling that this market's long overdue for a correction. And I think if oil continues to deteriorate, and I have no reason to believe it will, it's going to pull the market down with it, Todd. The question is just how far and how quick.
Now, okay, now again, I disagree with that. All right, so I want to go over this with you because I want you to explain, because I may be wrong. I don't know, but I remember we had great markets in the 90s when oil was $9 a barrel. Nobody gave a rat's ass about oil in the 90s, and we had booming bull markets. All right. Now, all of a sudden, if oil goes down, the market goes down. They say, or goes up, it goes up. I mean, look, was not oil a manipulated product that because we were stuck and involved in the Mideast when we had to buy their oil, now that we're self-sufficient, we don't need them, wasn't that more of a manipulated price? Didn't we see that in 2014 when we had that massive backwardation in oil where July was trading at 115 and November and December was trading at 85?
Yes, we did.
So is that not – so what? Why is oil so important to the economy? We survived and had booming economies with $9 oil.
Well, I think it's signaling, in my humble opinion, that globally the economic recovery purportedly, if you want to believe that, is now in trouble. I think couple that with the central banks now looking to raise interest rates, certainly the Fed leading the way. How much higher rates will go and whether or not we see any additional rate cuts, rate increases at this point, I really don't know. But I have to question at some point, you know, can this market handle higher interest rates? Can this economy handle higher interest rates? And I think what we're seeing with the price of oil is quite frankly telling us it cannot. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's the way I see it.
Well, I'm a big believer that we have to have higher interest rates, and I'm a big believer that the Fed is totally lost their mind. They lost their way. And in 2013, when Ben Bernanke folded to the trading floor, that was the beginning of the end, because at the end of the day, Joe, in my opinion, the interest rate market is too low for the average guy, because what you've done is you've shut out the middle class completely, which is why we have no jobs, which is why we have no growth, because you cannot have entrepreneurs and people like that if they cannot borrow money. And without entrepreneurs, you don't have a competitive space for jobs. What the Fed had effectively had done is not only created more of a debt for us to have to pay for, because you know we're paying for it, right? The middle class is paying for it. So not only did they create that ridiculous that we're going to have to pay more debt, and they want inflation so they can inflate my assets so I can pay more taxes so they can steal out of my pocket again and actually devalue the currency. The hundreds that I'm carrying in my pocket right now are worth about 3 cents. Right? But with all that being said, they wiped out the free market system and allowed the very wealthy to benefit and really stick it to the small banks and the small employees, because what happened is the big companies went to their employees and said, we're cutting staff. And if you don't like it, we'll get somebody else. Work harder. And they took all small business away. And that we've now got this ridiculous minimum wage debate. What do you say to all that big mouthful?
Couldn't agree more. You're absolutely right.
Okay. So I'm again, look, I'm an anti-Fed guy. I never was. All right. But as I begin to get more into it, and watch the way that they act, and watch what they do. I mean, you know, you have to have a couple of screws loose to want to support the Fed or the big banks, because they want to eat their young. They don't want to allow the small banks to survive in this business. And I think that's a travesty in itself. That is one of the biggest things for destroying the free market economy that you can start with. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we have to get back to a true free market economy. It's been many, many decades since we certainly had that, and we have to get back to it. Inevitably, I believe, Todd, we will get back to it. What it'll take before we actually get there again, that's the wild card. But, you know, quite frankly, when you look at what these markets are telling you at this point, I believe we're going to see lower prices before we see higher prices. I think the key is preservation of capital, safety, liquidity. You know, does that mean you sell everything? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means you sell enough that you're comfortable, you can sleep at night, knowing you've got money to come back into the market at a better entry point. That's the way I see it.
I agree with that. Now, but what makes you think that we're going to have a free market system again? I mean, we haven't had free markets for quite a while. I mean, it's not just this recent move in the Fed. Because they've been, you know, if you remember, the guy who started this whole bubble business was Alan Greenspan.
Yes, he did.
So he created the 36-year bull market in treasuries, okay, that continued to bring interest rates down over time. And he basically did his single-handedly, and then with the help of Ben Bernanke, now Janet Yellen, destroyed the free market system because the wealthy took a significant advantage of all these things and the perks that the normal guy could not take advantage of. We're coming up to a break here, Joe. This is Joe Meyer from Straight Money Analysis, my buddy, my pal, and he's 50 years in this business. And I'm just telling you, I know the markets go up every day, but I would highly suggest you check out straightmoneyanalysis.com and his newsletter because, again, he's just going to tell it to you like it is. He's got no axe to grind. He's not trying to sell you any product. He's saying, here, this is what I'm seeing in the markets. Make sure you check it out. This is The Bubba Show. We have libertytalk.fm where you can download the show every single day as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, it's the only station you need for all your content except The Bubba's Bottom Line, which is at bubbatrading.com. Because I'm having a good time doing it. And, of course, you guys know, for me, you get it how I feel it exactly at the time. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more with Joe Meyer after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Joe Meyer. 50 years in the business. Writes the newsletter now, Straight Money Analysis. You can find it at straightmoneyanalysis.com. And Joe, you know, I went through my little tirade there at the end, but I agree. I don't agree. I believe that the Fed has destroyed the free market system, and I cannot see a true free market price discovery model coming back. In my mind, there's only one thing there's only one product. Well, there's more. Some of them are illegal, though. But there's only one product that is truly free market price discovery that's left, and that is the housing market. Other than that, there's nothing else that is free market and free price discovery. Correct me if I'm wrong and tell me where it's at, please.
Well, I agree with you on housing, but I think when you talk about the bigger picture, we've stretched this system, in my humble opinion, about as far as it can go, Todd. You know, you got a $20 trillion national debt, and you know, to some people it's just a number, but to me it's a very serious number. Because at some point we're going to have to pay down that debt, and the interest on that debt is going to certainly consume us at some point as these interest rates inevitably move higher. You know, you got to question the ability to continue to borrow, to service certainly the expenses of the federal government. And I touch upon what you said earlier. We've got an awful lot of good news built into this market. You know, we're counting on the tax cuts. They haven't been legislated. They haven't been passed. We're counting on a lot of less regulation. I don't know whether or not we're actually going to see what a lot of people want to believe. And lastly, you know, we're focusing on this big spending boom, money being spent on rebuilding the infrastructure. You know, my question is, you're going to spend $1 trillion on rebuilding the infrastructure. Where are you going to get the money from? You're certainly not going to get it from the tax base if you're going to put these tax cuts in place. So where do they get the money from, Todd? I think they have to print it. There's no other answer.
Well, that's what I mean. So, why, again, that's where the free markets have gone. That's why there is no more free market, because the first thing we got, Joe, coming up is the debt ceiling, okay?
Right.
So the debt ceiling is going to be resolved, as it always is, because they'll just print more money. That is the problem with the relationship between the United States government and the Congress and supposedly a private organization, but named, so it sounds like it's a government organization, the Fed. Okay, and that's the biggest. That's the first problem, that they allow them to print more money to keep the country open. You know what? Shut it down. Let's send the power back to where it belongs, to the city, county, state, and then the feds. All right, but again, they don't want to do that because those guys are too busy stealing all our money to begin with. So, tell me how we're going to get free markets back, no matter what they do.
Well, I think the system at some point has to implode. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. You know, we're going to reach a point where no one's going to want to take this U.S. dollar. You know, at some point, this economy, and I believe, again, in my humble opinion, is going to weaken and we're going to see another QE. You know, at what point are you going to realize that QE is not the answer to the long-term economic problems facing this country? You know, we got a problem now with people wanting to hold our debt. We've got China, we got Japan looking to move away from bonds. We got a problem as we're moving forward now with the European Union and certainly what we're seeing in the EU. And this problem coming up now with the Dutch government maybe making a major change doesn't spell all that well for the continuation of the European Union itself. So I think there's a lot going on here. You know, how it will turn out, we'll have to see. But I question how much further we can really stretch the rubber band. I truly do, Todd.
No, I agree with that. But again, that's the worst thing that can happen right now, because these jackasses will then go ahead and print more money and then come back and say, well, we have to have inflation so we can inflate your house so you can pay more tax on it. That's my point. So until they allow the free market system working, you know what? Shut them down. Why should the banks have been bailed out? They caused the problem in the first place. Why were they allowed to be bailed out? I have no problem. If you want to have an organization as the lender of last resort, as the Federal Reserve is supposed to be, which was a crooked model to begin with, but we'll forget about that for now. But if you want to have the lender of last resort, okay, fine. But let the banks that were weak go out of business and let the Federal Reserve print money to give back the depositors back their money and screw the bank. Let them go out of business. Why were we compelled to keep them in business and allow them to exist, pay themselves big bonuses, and still screw the depositors? That's what I want to know.
Well, they were too big to fail, and the smaller banks was too small.
What makes it too big to fail? There's the point. There is nobody who's too big to fail. Why is Joe Meyer, why is Straight Money Analysis not too big to fail? I mean, why is there an exception? If the Fed's going to bail out the depositors, why can't they give them the money and let the bank fail? The bank's not failing on anything but their own ridiculous debt.
Well, that's the point for having insurance on the deposits. That was the idea behind that. And if a bank failed, the depositor wouldn't lose any money. Where what am I missing?
Well, that's what I'm saying, but they didn't do that. They gave the money to the banks, and they let them pay themselves big fat bonuses, and they kept them in business. And what are they doing now? They're doing the same again, because now we have the highest level of auto subprime debt in the history.
Yes, we do.
So how's that going to work itself out? That's what I'm saying. That's my issue with the whole model. That's why it's hard for me to imagine that we're going to ever get back to true free markets. That's what I see here, because every time they don't let anybody fail. And if you don't let anybody fail, how can you have a free market?
Well, they're bailing out the same people more than once.
I agree. That's my point. That's what I want to know. So we have all these bubble builders that have no clue of what the, you know, Joe Meyer, you're a street guy, aren't you? Where'd you grow up at?
Long Island, New York.
That's right, right? All right. So you understand what it is to have to fight for food on the streets at some point in time, yes?
Yes.
Those guys that run in the Federal Reserve, they never knew what it was like to have to eat. They just look at a thesis and a plan and say, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly the way it is.
So, you know, again, I'm with you. We both are in agreement that the markets are going to take a tumble. And I think we're probably both in agreement that 20 years from now, 10 years from now, the markets will be higher than they are today. All right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the markets do go up 9% year over year. But at the end of the day, we have a lot of things here that are very artificial. And one of the problems that we have with today's markets in today's world is that you've got too much intervention and too many people watching after the henhouse. And when we should let the natural evolution of a market take place, because you once said it on my show about a year ago, that if you left to their own devices, a market or a product will tell you what the right price is by a true price market model discovery, correct?
Well, what I meant in addition to that is markets do one thing very efficiently. They reprice assets.
And that's correct.
And that's what true markets do and do very efficiently.
And that's what I'm saying. So you are a believer in that. And we've seen that when you see valuations where we are today, because people can go out and borrow cheap money. I mean, you know, if you can go borrow, you know, $1 billion to buy back all of your stock, and you were paying, you can borrow it at 3% and you were paying a 4% dividend, it's a pretty good deal to come back and go back and buy your own stock, isn't it?
No, absolutely.
So those are the things that kind of edge me on, Joe. I didn't mean to get so riled up, but I got wound up thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Well, we're going to go back to some form of normalcy at some point. It's inevitable, and it has to happen. Markets are going to correct the excesses that we've seen built into the system over a number of years. I think the surprise in a lot of instances is going to be how much these markets in some asset classes truly correct. I don't think people are expecting prices to go down as dramatically as you and I think they will, Todd.
And they never think that's the way they happen. Joe Meyer, my friend, my man, you are the best. StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Joe, how does somebody get a hold of you if they want to step up and buy the newsletter?
Go to StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Go to the website. Click on newsletter. We got a full sample issue of the newsletter on the website. You can download and read. Latest issue of the newsletter is the March 2017 one year subscription to the newsletter $259.95, 6 month subscription $149.95. You have any questions? Send me an email. We'll respond to them immediately.
Joe Meyer, StraightManAnalysis.com. Thank you so much, my man.
Todd, thank you for having me as your guest this afternoon. Great to visit with you and your listening audience once again. Thank you, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show, Top of Boris, LibertyTalk.fm. Download The Bubba Show every single day. That'll do it for today. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. The Bubba Show, Top of Boris. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.